This is Vermont Edition. I'm Mitch Wertlieb in for Jane Lindholm. The practice of forest bathing is gaining in popularity around the world. The term forest bathing is a direct translation of a Japanese concept that essentially champions the idea of spending quiet, contemplative time in nature in order to gain healing benefits. But here in Vermont, you might be saying to yourself, we're surrounded by forests, so aren't we all just bathing in those good natural vibes all the time? Well, that's what Vermont Edition host Jane Lindholm wondered, so she called up a certified nature and forest therapy guide named Duncan Murdoch, who leads forest bathing walks, often for groups of 10 or 15 people in Chittenden County. And last week, they met for a walk through Arms Forest in Burlington.
I picked this location because it's a beautiful area, and it's fairly immersive being in Burlington. You really feel like you're out in the woods, and it's easy terrain, it's flat, and there's a nice loop. So I like loops, and I like trails that are less than a mile for participants.
Less than a mile, but on your website it says your normal walks take about 2 to 3 hours, so this is not exercise.
This isn't exercise at all. It's a lot different than going out for a walk with your dog or with some friends or a hike. This is really more of a saunter. It's to pick up on a lot of the subtleties that we miss when we're literally moving fast. And you can really take your time and be with a lot of the intricacies in nature. It's a nice time to just relax.
You want to sit and do that relaxing and talk more about it?
Yeah, let's do that. You could go over here. I have a pad, too.
Over here with the rabbit tracks?
Yeah.
All right, so guide me through what you might do in a situation like this on one of your trips with people.
Okay. So the walks are about 2 hours long, and they involve immersing yourself in the environment through the senses. So it's different than, say, like a naturalist walk. You're going through the woods and you're identifying trees, and it's a bit of a mindfulness practice. It's a type of meditation in a way. So I offer a series of invitations for people to experience their natural environment through one of the traditional five senses or a combination. So for example, I do an invitation called What's in Motion. A lot of the times, for me, internal dialogue is going, and your mind is busy, typically. It's moving fast, just as fast as your body might be normally. So we use the senses as a way to train the mind or to guide the mind towards non-thinking. With What's in Motion, you kind of start off, especially on days when it's not windy, my internal dialogue is like, I look around, nothing's in motion. You're like, great, this is silly, nothing's moving. But then you start to notice. You start to look up and you start to notice the gentle sway of the trees and the leaves. Then you're like, oh, and then all of a sudden the whole forest is moving in one way or another. A lot of people drop in right away because it just resonates. It's a deeply familiar way of being in the world.
Is that different, do you think, than if you were in a room trying to sort of let go of your thoughts and those whirling thoughts? Is it different to be out here to do that when you say people drop in?
Mm-hmm. You can practice this kind of mindfulness way indoors in any kind of environment you're in. The difference is this environment, you'll feel less threatened and your defenses will drop a little more. You could easily walk down the street and be like, okay, I'm going to focus on my sense of hearing. And cars will be blaring, car horns will be blaring, and planes will be going overhead, and dogs are barking, people are arguing, or, you know, sirens are going. And all the while, your body is reacting on some level and activating cortisol, oftentimes, which is a stress hormone. So when you're in the forest, your parasympathetic system gets activated, which is your rest and digest, as opposed to your sympathetic system, which is fight or flight. So when you're in a forest, there's a plane.
I mean, does the plane, is the plane a problem? Are you trying to get to a place where there's no non-nature sounds?
That's the thing. silence is becoming an endangered species. And a man-made noise is called anthrophone is pervasive. It's all around us.
So you gave us an example of one exercise you might do, and there are others. When somebody emerges from the walk and gets back in their car and goes back perhaps to their apartment, what's the lasting impact of doing something like this?
There are studies around that show that the effects of forest bathing and being out in the forest can last up to a few weeks or a couple weeks. But on these walks, less on a scientific level, anecdotally, people carry this practice with them. And we're not ever really leaving nature. We're always in nature. It's a matter of, are we paying attention? And the more this becomes habitual, the more you'll feel closer and connected to nature. So, yeah, I think people borrow the techniques from these walks and carry it with them and integrate it into their lives. And it's a lifelong practice.
Why, though, does someone need you? I mean, in some senses, we live in a state that's almost 80% forested, and many of us are here because of that, whether we grew up here and it's just part of the life that we were born into, or we've cultivated this life of being in nature and trying to be observant. So why do we need to pay you to go on this walk when that just in thinking about it feels like, oh my God, now we're commodifying nature. We're not actually getting closer. We're paying somebody who we call a forest therapy guide, nature guide, to do this for us. Why can't we just do it on our own?
Yeah, it's a question that I, getting into this, grappled with. I'm a Vermonter. I don't like paying for parking. I don't like paying for anything, right? It was a concern of mine as well. I mean, I started this practice in New York City, doing walks in Central Park. And I thought, man, these people could use it, right? And then, nature drew me back to coming back home. And I was like, well, I'm continuing with this practice. I'm like, but Vermonters, like you said, we're in nature all the time. Well, what I've learned is, although we are more in nature than people say in New York City, where's our attention focused? Also, this is kind of like, why would you pay someone to do this? You don't have to. You can do this for free. Are you doing it? Is this something that you're doing? Then that's really great if it's part of your routine. But this is also an opportunity. It's a thing you can sign up to do, and then you're more likely to do it. Americans, on average, spend, do you know how many percentage we spend?
What, outside?
Yeah.
5%?
That's pretty good. It's 10% or 7% if you eliminate inside in cars. So 7% of our lives are spent outdoors. And so we need to now, I believe, actively, with intention, put ourselves in those natural environments because they're becoming more separate from our daily lives.
You talked a little bit about the sight exercise you do, what's moving, and you sort of focus on all the subtle movement that you might not otherwise notice. What other types of exercises do you have people go through?
One of the last invitations that I do, one of the last senses, is taste. And so what I do is I go to the area that we're doing walks, and I harvest sustainably, of course, edible plants that I can steep to make teas so that we can taste the forest as kind of the last invitation. So we'd have like a hemlock tea, which is different than the Socrates hemlock.
Let's hope.
Yeah. So these are like tried and true herbal remedies that we've had. So we hit on the sense of taste then. Another invitation is to really immerse yourself in the sense of sound. So really focus in on all the different sources of sound. Lean into the ones that give you pleasure. The whooshing sound of the pine needles overhead is like my go-to.
We're actually hearing one of my go-to sounds, which is the woodpecker somewhere over there. And what I love is that it's such a distinctive sound that often is so hard to pinpoint with your eyes when you hear a woodpecker pecking.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's fun to observe that, too. It's like, what's drawing your attention? What's pulling you in? The impulse of you wanting to see it, you know?
Oh, there it goes.
There she is. That happens a lot, too. Nature starts to respond. This practice has immense potential in helping people heal and treat various conditions, depression and anxiety. And so in the medical realm, this has an enormous potential, and it's just starting now to be embraced by the medical community as a official kind of therapeutic modality. It's being recognized, you know, on a national level and a global level, and even in the state of Vermont, there's the Park Prescription Program, which is essentially a recognition that nature can help with your health and well-being. So doctors are prescribing to their patients free park passes, either for green exercise or just to kind of de-stress. I think there's a big future in this, and I think it's really exciting.
Well, Duncan, as somebody who listens to podcasts on double speed and walks fast in the woods, thank you for making me take the time to sit down and observe and slow down and talk to you about this.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
So shall we walk out?
Yes.
You don't want to walk out?
Yeah, let's walk out.
All right.
That was VPR's Jane Lindholm talking about forest bathing with Duncan Murdoch. His company is called Nature Connection Guide, and we have a link at vpr.org.